What do you remember of those very early days, the information that was coming in and decisions that you were contemplating maybe and hadn't even made yet?
I remember that time vividly. Things were changing, not on a daily basis, but in some instances on an hourly basis. I vividly recall the Wrights basketball team was going to compete in the regional level of the basketball tournament, and basically we had to have them get off the bus. That's how things were changing on a constant basis. From every day moving forward, I think the gravity of the situation became more and more apparent. And then when we were thinking about what we needed to do, from the second day on, we discussed our partnership with WNIN. We were so blessed that we were able to actually produce educational content for our students to take advantage of over the summer months. But we started talking about that day too. We started talking about how are we going to feed our students. Originally, we thought we might be out for 2 weeks. And then within that 2 week period of time, the governor came on and basically called school for the rest of the academic year. We continued to plan and we started planning actually for a reopening. So we have phenomenal people in EVSC, started doing a great deal of research. We were looking really to the countries in Europe because they had experienced this phenomenon first. So we looked at how they navigated this within their educational institutions, and we learned a great deal from them. This summer was a busy summer, but actually, even before we were out of school, if you will, for the last academic year, we literally took tape measures to measure the distance that we had within our classrooms. We have 5 million square feet under roof. And we knew that one of the mitigation strategies, if we were going to reopen, was that social distancing. So we had to keep students away at least 6 feet. We knew that thorough and frequent hand washing were critically important. So, we had all of the soap dispensers that we ordered. We also got the water bottle filling stations, ordered 200 of those and had them installed in our facilities so that we would make as certain as possible that we would be able to maintain social distancing, basically adhere to all those social distancing and all those mitigation strategies. But going back to measuring how many desks can we get in this classroom and how can we accomplish all of this work, I think you might recall, Steve, that we actually moved Harwood High School students out of the Harwood facility into our facility at AIS Diamond Avenue campus so that we could accomplish social distancing in two of our largest elementary schools, being Hebron and Highland. So we moved the fourth and fifth grade into what we now call the Harwood Annex. That's how serious we were about deploying mitigation strategies. And we went to that extent because we know how important it is for our families to get back to work. The guiding mantra, if you will, we had three main points. We wanted to make certain that academic pursuits for our students would continue. We wanted to make certain that our students and our parents had every option that they felt was necessary to continue to educate their child. And we also wanted to make certain that we provided a safe environment for our students and staff.
What was it like for you? What was going through your mind? What did you feel when you realized that the weight of your professional role was going to intersect so closely with something like a pandemic?
I think the gravity of the situation, because I've always taken the responsibility to educate kids as a high responsibility and blessing. But when you then couple that with the health and well-being of an entire community, and the last thing I would ever want to do would be to put people at risk or in jeopardy or to jeopardize their health. But I also know that through our research that students not being in in-person instruction many times was just as devastating, if not more so. So I had supreme confidence in our staff. This isn't about me. This is about the team that we are blessed to have. And I hope the Evansville community understands how blessed they are to have a public school system that can turn, pivot on a dime, and provide 800,000 meals to the Evansville community. And part of that requirement was that we fed anybody and everybody that was under 18. They didn't have to be even from Vandenberg County, didn't even have to be an EVSC student. But 800,000 meals turning on a dime. We became a logistics company, not just an educational entity. So all of our administrators worked throughout the summer redesigning what school would look like, re-envisioning what school would look like. I do remember a lot of sleepless nights, but I also remember that, you know, we're making decisions that are in the best interest of our students, making decisions that are in the best interest of our families and the best interest of our staff. And we're so blessed to have a collaborative community in Evansville that I had the expertise of the healthcare professionals in Evansville. I had the opportunity to interact with the mayor, who's a phenomenal leader in our community. And just being able to do that provides a great deal of comfort, knowing that we are doing the very best that we possibly can in an era where there is no playbook for a pandemic. And I am so proud of our staff and equally as proud of our students, because there were a lot of naysayers out there that said, well, you'll never get students to wear a mask. We've not had an issue with that. And incredibly proud of our families and lastly of our entire Evansville community. They have been the success that has really allowed EVSC to lead the way, not only in this community, but I would suggest throughout our state and throughout our nation. It's interesting now that once again, the talk has resurfaced. Well, how do we open schools? How do we reopen schools? For the first time in a year for many, many school districts across our nation. And many people have said, just look at EVSC. They've been successfully open for in-person instruction for 8 months. They can show you how it's done.
Are there any positive changes that you think will stick in the EVSC?
What's interesting is referrals to the office are down 60%, down 60% from the same period of time last year to this year. So obviously that I think is due to a variety of factors. We're actually doing a great deal of analysis now to drill down to see what the root cause is of that positive change. You know, we have been much more attentive to educating the whole child, their social emotional welfare. We want to make certain that they're calm, alert, and ready to learn. So what kind of structures and systems have to be in place so we can ensure that our students come to us calm, alert, and ready to learn? And if they don't come to us that way, what can we do to make certain that they achieve that status as quickly as possible? And I think we've learned so much about how students enter our building, where they are in the morning, how they're fed, the opportunity for them to still interact in a social setting, but still be safe with parameters and guidelines, if you will, in place. So we've learned a lot about that. And I think it has once again harkened us back to what we've said now for at least half a dozen years. There has to be a paradigm shift in how we educate kids and understanding more fully how the brain develops and how the wiring of the brain, if you will, so that we can be much more attentive to the education of the entire child.
Thank you, Dr. David Smith, Superintendent of the Evansville-Vandenberg School Corporation. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us today.
You bet. Thank you.